Greetings, Game Cola faithful, and welcome to the Game Cola podcast. This is podcast number 178, Feeling Gay. And I am your host and podcast commander, Joseph Martin, joined by...
Hi, I'm Anna. Hi, I'm Amber. I'm very tired. Nothing has changed. Sorry.
I'm Blue Rider.
I'm Leaf, and I'm also tired because it's exhausting to be this queer.
So true.
Takes a lot of work.
It does. A lot of maintenance.
Gaintenance?
Yep.
So, as you all are aware, this is the only podcast where you're allowed to be gay.
Yeah.
All of the other ones, it was strictly illegal. Yeah. All those times that Blue talked about Boyfriend Dungeon, illegal.
It was my birthday.
Literal Game Cola podcast named Gaming Outside the Binary, illegal. It's just this one. Anna pitched it to me and said, hey, Joseph, do you think you could let us be gay on the podcast instead of ruling over us with a homophobic iron fist? And I said, fine, in this one case, in this one time.
I don't know.
I believe that's exactly how the conversation went.
You,
I don't
Anna.
Think I took too many
You're
liberties.
Welcome.
Thank
right,
you,
Anna?
You're welcome.
I refuse to accept that that is how the conversation went and that we're not allowed to do it again.
That's what Anna agreed to.
I did not, I actually. I was told there would be more opportunities to be gay and queer. But
okay, fine. But you do agree that it has been illegal thus far.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's why I've stuck around for 10 plus years.
Just waiting for your moment to shine.
Just waiting.
Yeah, I've felt pretty oppressed throughout my time at Game Cola.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what the purpose of this podcast is.
Yeah.
Just
definitely all comes from Joe. I don't think that like anyone else of the podcast commanders have any issues with gay people. It's just Joe. I hear it all the time. We're best friends. We talk every day. He tells me how disgusted by me he is every single day.
He tells me, hey, have you kissed any boys lately? And I go, no. And he's like, good, you're still allowed on the podcast.
Anna, do you have anything you'd like to make up about me and my homophobia?
No.
Anna is
nice.
Like,
I can't
piss him off
I don't,
now.
I'm not fast enough for that. I'm just my brain isn't working. I'm sure it'll come to me later, and I can make a comment on the Discord. But for right now,
as the spirit moves you,
as the spirit moves me, So actually, what happened was I was on a plane, and it was April, and I went, "Oh, June's coming up," and then I went, "Hey, can we do this?" There was nothing else to it. It was just like, "Hey," and that's everything.
So, when it comes to gayness in video games, I can think of no other model, a paragon, unproblematic monarch.
Miles Edgeworth.
Of unspecified gender.
Miles Edgeworth.
Well, I was thinking the video game The Sims, but sure. Also, we could talk about Miles Edgeworth.
Did you know that The Sims was originally accidentally gay?
Yeah.
The first one?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Was it just that they hadn't figured out how to program not being gay?
Pretty much. They just hadn't bothered to take it out, but they were planning to. But then during a demo to, like, same-sex Sims, you know, maybe this is not true, but it's repeated often enough that maybe it is true. I don't know. Is that how facts work?
Yeah.
But the two same-sex Sims just started, like, making out in the background, and the, like, people in the room were like, haha, that's funny. Leave it in.
Can you imagine?
1990s, 2000s.
Yeah.
What a hilarious joke.
Man.
Yeah. So that's, but then, and then ever since then, it was just like one of the first, I think, mainstream video games that you could just really just be queer in. So it definitely is large within the queer community. It's large within quite a few communities, including the furry community as of last June. You know what I'm saying?
It's actually been almost 2 years, I think, now, of the werewolves.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The werewolves have been around for two years. You're welcome, furry.
That's what I thought. But
time isn't real.
No, it's not.
Well, wait, when you play Sims, like how, like what percentage, I know you do it sometimes, and I, you, plural, general, sometimes the idea is people will play, like, with themselves as a character, and then, like, you know, other characters around it. And sometimes you make, like, a completely artificial family that has nothing to do with you. Like, what percentage would you say is either of those things?
I will never make a sim of myself ever again.
Yeah, I'm with Anna.
So you did do it once.
Yes, with my ex in high school.
Oh my god. Sims 3. Same.
Yeah.
Except we weren't even dating yet. But we made sims of each other, and then they got married, and they woohooed, and I was like, this is awkward, because I like you.
Why did you do it?
I don't know. It seems like something that everyone who is young does, and I would say that, like, it is just something that young people do. Young people make sims of themselves, but I've seen old people do it, too, so maybe it's just something that everyone feels they must do the first time they play Sims, at least, and then you kind of realize that it's weird.
Yeah.
But like in what is it, Tomodachi Life, like people make themselves, like everybody makes themselves. The game specifically asks you to make yourself, and I feel like that vibe is less weird.
It's,
I guess there's a lot of like in the game there's a lot of lampshading of like it's like you're like a lookalike. It's not like literally you, because you also the player kind of exist within the world of Tomodachi Life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't think Sims ever really acknowledges the player within the confines of the Sims, like...
It's also very different. Perception.
They, like, yell at you.
Yeah.
Help. Sims 2, they look directly at you.
Yes.
Yeah.
They yell at you and go, please help.
What do
help.
They see?
God, help.
What do they see? I don't know. I'm not a Sim. Despite my but, best
like, do
attempts,
you think they
I
see like
one.
A rect? Is there like a magic rectangle that like
you know what
floats
I think
around?
Is they aren't real and they see nothing.
That's so true.
Got them there.
I will say that like The Sims, part of why it like people are so highly critical of its lack of diversity is because you're kind of encouraged to build yourself, and a lot of people find they can't do that. Like they added pronouns that are still broken, but they're fixing yeah. them. But they are still broken.
And it took
but they year, you year, still years. Can't make a yeah you still can't make a truly yeah pronouns came out with the werewolf update, with the furry update 2 years ago. They're still broken,
so like 7.5 years.
Yeah.
And this is a video game you can spend $1,000 on.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you can spend
you still
so
can't
money.
Truly make a trans sim.
No,
but not without cheating and without like kind of I don't know how to say it other than ruining your sim, but that feels like really problematic language to use.
It's yeah, it feels like they should by now have something generally yeah. like better.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they should know like their demographic by now. Like I feel like the people who make The Sims are the kind of people who would let greed outstrip their homophobia. You know what I mean?
Well, they're not homophobic. Like, they're just stupid.
Right, but like, well, okay. I guess that's a... I see your point.
Yeah, they're not against their queer audience. In some ways, they embrace it, but they don't embrace it all the way. At least not... They're like, okay, we'll give you pronouns, but we're not going to give you the ability to actually change your sim sex. So like, for example, if you have... If your sims have a child, so it's not a sim that you created and create a sim. Your sims have a child and that child grows up to be trans, they're always going to have the body they were born with unless you cheat. You can change their pronouns, but you can't change their body at all, which to a lot of trans people is a part of the being a trans person. Not everyone, absolutely not everyone, but that crucial aspect for a lot of people can't be replicated in The Sims without cheats.
Yeah. Yeah, they did kind of the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And it took way too long for it to happen.
But they did let you pick between four hats.
They did make a world in which toddlers do not exist. For a bit. I love children.
And everyone is the same height.
I will say that right now. I do love children. Toddlers are very loud sometimes.
So, but you said that Sims was, Leaf, you were talking earlier that Sims had been doing some things in recent times, not just their past mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Sims has, I guess EA, or whatever, has hired an entire team, I don't know how large, of people whose entire purpose is to fix the bugs in the existing game, of which there are many. And a lot of them are game-breaking. And it's been, like, some of these are bugs that have existed since, like, the second pack that ever came out. It's just, like, this part of the game just doesn't work. And some of it is smaller stuff. Like, they've added a lot of food to the game that you can't utilize in restaurants because the restaurant pack came out before this food was added, and they just for a very long time and potentially still now didn't update previous things to be compatible with the new things. So they're fixing that. That one's less game breaking. There's other stuff, like apparently plants would get covered in weeds even when they were out of season, but you couldn't weed them because when you clicked on it, it would say this plant is out of season. And that's been around since Seasons.
So, like, but are they actually going to fix it? Are they just, like, saying that?
They hired a team.
Yeah, they
have. They've released a list.
Have they fixed anything yet, though?
I don't know if a patch has come out.
Not yet. I don't think. I think the announcement came out last week.
I think you're right.
Suspicious. Very suspicious.
Something that has nothing to do with fixing bugs, though, happened as of today. You can get login bonuses.
Oh my god, yes!
Today, I don't even remember, it's not even been like 20 minutes. What was today's?
Oh, I don't know, what did they start with? The dartboard?
It was the dartboard, yeah.
The first one?
You had a dartboard.
Hey, more like, hey guys, more like.
Yeah, what?
You know what it's more like?
What?
Fartboard. Yeah, okay, cool. Thank you, Joseph. One of the things that is interesting about the dartboard part is that it is not an item, to my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Anna, but it is not an item that is in base game.
It's not.
It is an item that you could only get in some pack. I don't know what pack, but one of the packs had it. So now which also for the record, they've done something similar to this in the past and caused an uproar where something that previously you had to buy a pack to get was added to base game. Granted, last time it was a bigger deal than like a dartboard. Like people aren't buying. Is it Get Together?
I have never used a dartboard in The Sims before.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Let's say it's Get Together just for funsies. Like, you weren't buying Get Together specifically for the dartboard. There was a pack that was like outdoor patio stuff or something.
Oh.
That was like the only way to get a hot tub. And then, there was like basically nothing else that anyone wanted in it. So people were buying it just for the hot tub. And then Sims, for their some anniversary, released a hot tub in base game and people got really mad. So that might happen again.
If people don't have to buy expansion packs, I'm fine with that.
I am too. But the problem is the people that have already spent their money. Yeah. And granted, again, whatever pack this dartboard came in, the dartboard was not the selling point of the pack. So it is less of a big deal. Another thing that they're going to drop for a login reward is a recoloring of the ugliest trash can. So that's nice, except for it's not nice because I'm not going to log in. Screw them. So I'm never going to have this trash can. I'm only going to have the ugly version. This trash can is the only one in the game also where when you throw things away, you get money for it. So it's useful despite being ugly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The big...
That's the price you pay.
They're doing this very strange thing where every quarter, I want to say, they like change their logo or something.
Really?
Like, it's something like that. Like, they just like mix up how they look every quarter when they release their next like teaser about what's coming. Also, they cannot stop things from leaking. It's very funny.
It does keep happening.
Yeah, they can't stop it, which makes you wonder if it's intentional. Like, are they trying to build hype by leaking things? Or can they really just not get this under control?
like, as much as I hope it's not on purpose, it, at this point, it does feel very on purpose.
Yeah. Like for example, the login rewards was leaked before it was fully announced.
Good, good. I'm trying to click on this and it's not showing me anything. So I can't even say what the next rewards are without going online.
All I can
online.
Remember is the dartboard and the trash can. I forgot about the vending machine.
Yeah, vending machine's last one. And then they also have a trait one that's happening.
Which is so stupid. Like, yeah. How can they do that?
That's weird.
Like, they're, you can only be this personality if you log in on this certain day.
Pretty much.
Like, I think they give you a week or something, but I don't know.
Yeah. But yes, like, you can only have that personality. And reminder, in Sims 4, you can only have 3 traits. That's a little not true anymore. We won't get into it. But you can baseline only have 3 traits. So traits mean a lot. Yeah. Like, any individual trait is a third baseline of your personality.
It is super disappointing coming from Sims 3, where it's like 5.
Yeah. By default, you get 5. And they all actually do things.
Yeah. I miss when things were good. And were they ever good? Probably not.
You know for Sims 4. What's another time things were good?
No. I wish.
Hold on, I have to get the year right for my joke to land. Give me 1 second.
It has to do what?
I don't know.
2004!
No! 2004 was bad! What are you talking about?
But in 2004, a little game came out called Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? That game... Now, in the remake that was released recently, has a trans woman, so it's on theme.
Yeah.
To talk about this remake of a game that's 10 years old.
10?
Any of the people here, Paper Mario Thousand Year Doorheads.
Did you know that trans people existed 10 years ago, too?
Not crazy. The Americans who played the original Paper Mario Thousand Year Door game.
They didn't know that trans people existed.
Not the one in the game, because it was in Japan, but not in the United States one.
Japan gets all the good stuff.
Weirdly, it was in the Italian, they included it in the Italian one.
Japan
the Italian
gets
one
lesbians,
was more accurate.
And then America turns them into cousins.
No.
It is that, very similar to that. That, too, in that you hear like, oh yeah, Sailor Moon... They, you know, the lesbians get turned into cousins. You learn that there were actually lesbians. And then you're like, oh, cool. So they were, like, cooler about that. And then you read the original Japanese translation. It's like, oh, no, they weren't, like, really cool about it all the time. They were a little weird about it. It's sort of the same in Paper Mario, where it's like, oh, yeah, the character was trans. They weren't really cool about it, though. But now in the updated one, both, to my understanding, both in the new, like, text of the new Japanese text of the game, which was still, like, the lead was the same lead on the original game. They have updated some of the text around the character to be better, and then that is also reflected in the now more accurate American translation. But it's also interesting that, you know, they've been making lots of Paper Mario games that are kind of, it almost feels, like, spitefully different from Thousand Year Door. I don't know. Did anyone answer my question? Was anybody a Thousand Year Doorhead back in the 2000s?
I didn't play video games for a very long time.
Yeah, I don't think I was playing video games back then.
Oh, it's not. I keep saying 10 years. It was 20 years.
Yeah.
That's math.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was definitely playing, not playing video games 10 years ago, but I was playing them 20 years ago. It's a good call.
And you were definitely playing video games 20 years ago.
I don't remember 20 years ago that well.
We were probably playing Sims. If you played Sims 2.
I wasn't playing this. I didn't play Sims until I was 16, no matter how much I asked. My parents were probably like, no. I know what's in the Sims.
Might have,
it's not.
Wait,
Blue, were you a Paper Mario head?
No, I've never played it.
I might have been playing Club Penguin or Webkinz back then.
This is the tragedy. of Paper Mario is because, which I now fully understand because I have played the first one on Nintendo Switch Online. I played it all the way through. And it's very interesting reading old Game Cola because old Game Cola does not like the first Nintendo 64 Paper Mario very much. And I can certainly understand why. Pretty much everything good about Paper Mario is in the sequel, and they got rid of pretty much everything bad. For example, the original Paper Mario, like, they just made him flat, but there's no, like, theming around it. It's just kind of, like, story, vaguely storybook themed. But then, like, all of the places you go are just, like, it's the grass place, it's the desert place, and you have these partners that you use in the RPG battles. But it's just like, hey, it's Goomba with hat. Don't you want to be best friends with Goomba with hat? What about Koopa with bandana? Or Boo with bow? That one has a little bit more because it's the Ojo-sama trope. But like, aside from that, pretty much just that. Paper Mario has like, female architectural archaeologist explorer protege of the main scientist Goomba guy, and it's like there's more depth there, and the design is better, and even the character interactions for some of the stuff that's similar are still have more depth, and the places are more in depth. I think the fun one that everybody remembers is the wrestling world.
The wrestling world is pretty great.
The wrestling world is a good one, and there's also a train. And there's a weird, spooky forest, but not in, like, a ghost house way. I can't even describe World 2. I don't know, like, there's not a concise way to describe its theme, I feel. Scary and castle. The hub world is this seedy crime port with a noose in the center of town in the Mario game. It's good. It's themed. Also, like, just the title, The Thousand Year Door. Isn't that, like, doesn't that kind of, like, draw you in?
It's better than the 100-year door.
True.
It is. It is significantly better than that.
Ten times better.
And they say gay people can't do math. No one says that.
It's good. And they take an interesting perspective on RPG battles because you have Mario, and it's just Mario and his friend. But like they give you the variety that you get in RPG with the badge system, which basically lets you have like a set of points and each badge costs a certain amount of points and you equip the badges and they let you use like the special moves that normally you would just like learn upon leveling up so that you can like change Mario's skill set and his quote, like his, what you might call like abilities or stats based on these different loadouts. So you can still have a lot of variety while it's still just always Mario, Jumpman, Mario. And then you've got the timed attacks and defenses, which let you, like, keep you engaged while the battle is happening. So you're not just like, I select the option and then watch what happens. It's interesting how that's in all three Mario RPG styles, but it's slightly different. At least in, last podcast, you probably heard me talk about Mario and Luigi, the RPG series, where in that one, like, dodging / defending from attacks is like preventing damage altogether, whereas in Paper Mario it's reducing damage, and that kind of changes the calculus. The numbers in Paper Mario are also quite small. Like 10 is a lot of damage in Paper Mario, whereas in like Mario and Luigi, for example, by the end of the game you're getting well into like the hundreds. It's interesting that like it was interesting that like especially within the early 2000s, you had, or and around that time, you basically had three different Mario RPG series that, like, coexisted. Like, people didn't know that they weren't going to get another game like the one on the SNES. So, like, they were all, it's interesting reading, like, Game Cola articles, too, about it. Like, very clearly comparing these three and, like, how they were all sort of considered as a cohort in a way that they wouldn't be as much now, except now they did also release a remake of the SNES one. So it's kind of just a weird time for Mario RPGs because now also Mario and Luigi is just dead because the studio is defunct and I don't think they're doing anything else with the property. And also like Mario's the jump guy. What's he doing in a role-playing game with story? It's weird, but it's fascinating and I enjoy it quite a lot.
Is it weird for Mario to be in a role-playing game?
It's different.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's less weird now that it's happened several times.
Right.
I mean, I feel like they were always vaguely bordering on that. Maybe it wasn't a full-on role-playing game, but I don't... Like, the idea like, there's a story and you can in some ways project yourself onto Mario, I feel like, has always been...
But, like, Mario doesn't talk.
Sure.
Right? Like, it's not... Like, games have, like, a framing device, but that's what Mario's story in, like, the platformer games are more of a framing device. Like, there aren't narrative beats that really happen within the story. There's kind of a beginning, the game, and an end. Whereas in, like, Paper Mario, like, characters have these individual arcs. The original one in Japan was called Mario Story. And it was only in the second game that they really leaned into the paper theming. And each, like, section of the game, you know, you're trying to get seven of these, you know, magical MacGuffins. And so each one where you're getting one of those things is called a chapter. You know, it has this very clear structure of, you know, you start in the hub world, you figure out how to get to the place where the, you know, the target item is, then you go through your little adventure in there, you get some set of abilities, you get a partner or two, you beat the final boss, you get the thing, and then you go and you have a sort of like intermission session with, in the first game, just Princess Peach, where you play as Princess Peach for a little bit and do something. That's also better in Thousand Year Door. They make that a little bit more interesting. And then also in Thousand Year Door, you get a Peach section and a Bowser section. And they're both slightly different. And it has this like rhythm to it, which is really interesting. Like it doesn't get boring because like it would get boring, and it kind of does in the first game a bit, because it's a lot of it is played very straight of like, here's the desert world, here's the snow world and stuff like that. The snow world is a little bit better. Snow world has a murder mystery for a little bit, which is also fun for a Mario game. But in Thousand Year Door, it becomes more about like, what creative thing are they going to insert into this structure? Right? Because each world, I feel like, is pretty unique. There are some that are like stand out, again, like the wrestling one. But all in all, like the flavor of it can then be contrasted by the structure that can kind of help guide you through the sort of wild flavor. Because since you have that structure, you don't necessarily need to make narrative concessions to keep the player knowing what like their kind of goal and what the pace of the story should be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The more structured you make one part, the more wild you can make another part. But then if they're both structured, it's just kind of straightforward.
Uh-huh.
Is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think putting Mario in an RPG is very interesting. I think putting a character who cannot talk into a world where people talk a lot.
He says Wahoo.
He does say Wahoo.
And Ice Dumpa the Goomba.
I don't know if he quite says that.
All the time.
Well, Chris Pratt does, and he is obviously the quintessential voice.
Of Mario, Jumpman Mario.
Yeah. Or else they wouldn't have picked him to play him if he was a bad fit, right?
Do you think Chris Pratt has jumps?
If he has jumps?
Mm-hmm.
Is vertical?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
Well, Blue, I'm sorry, but that's what the next little bit of the podcast is going to be about.
The
Blue,
Garfield
how
movie.
High do you think Chris Pratt can jump? Explain your answer.
Well, I think it changes, because sometimes he's playing Garfield, who is lazy and apathetic.
But we're not
apathetic.
Talking about the characters that he's playing. We're talking about actual
real
human
Chris
Pratt.
He's so close, and he's such a good fit for all these characters that they're basically inseparable.
Yeah, Chris Pratt is known for his method acting.
Think of him as not Garfield, except when you think of him as Mario.
Yeah.
Would he be Marfield or Gario?
If they had a kid?
No, just since Chris Pratt is both Mario and Garfield,
if
and he embodies
Mario
them perfectly
Garfield
simultaneously.
If Mario had a baby, how much lasagna do you think it could eat?
That's a good question.
Not quite as, I don't know. I
think no, Anna's on to something here. Anna's on to something.
Not as much as Garfield.
Anna's cooking.
Anna's cooking.
They're cooking. Let Anna cook. Lasagna.
Let Anna cook. So I'm right.
Yeah.
And yes.
Your question is objectively correct.
You're right
correct.
That if Mario and Garfield had a baby, they would be able to eat an amount of lasagna.
Yeah.
That would likely be interesting.
Yeah.
I think the interesting that's the claim question you're making. Is if eating the lasagna would then turn it into a lasagna creature?
Would they actually just birth a lasagna?
Well, like, when Mario consumes the random food and items, he does not become those. Like, when Mario consumes a mushroom, he doesn't turn into a mushroom.
No, not mushrooms, but, like,
when he consumes a fire flower, he does not become a flower. Like,
that's why
he gains fire powers.
That's why I tacked on the word creature, to emphasize that he's not the lasagna.
But he does not become a flower creature.
He becomes a fire flower.
He does not become
creature.
A mushroom creature.
What would you call it?
When he gets a feather, he gets a cape.
A picture.
He doesn't turn into a bird creature.
Elephant. Of, Mario and Garfield, and it says there's a lasagna in the oven.
Oh my god.
I'm ignoring this. When.
Do you think that
he
it's...
turns into a tanuki, it's when he touches a leaf. Or when he. And the only so time that you. The other time he turns
you
into things is he puts on a suit, like it's a frog suit.
You can't
like
prove
it's not,
he doesn't
eat
the
a frog.
Leaf.
You can't prove it.
He
That's
puts
true.
On a frog suit.
Do you think
that
I
gives
mean, like,
him the
does,
abilities
Is Mario
of a, frog.
A vegetarian?
No, no.
No, because he eats the meat. He definitely says pasta dishes in his sleep that have meat in
well,
them.
Well, you could probably make vegetarian versions of
it. That's true. Beyond meat.
Yeah.
And that.
Or eggplant.
But I feel like he did that before such options existed.
You think that vegetarian...
Maybe
like
he's ahead of his time. He's eating leaves and turning into tanukis. I think he might be a little bit farther than we are.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure there's art somewhere of Mario eating regular meatballs.
Oh yeah, you're right. You can't draw a vegetarian eating meat. Come on, Joseph.
Well, but he's a fictional character that is artistically rendered. So, like, if you don't count his artistic renderings as what he is, then what is he?
I mean, only the canon ones count. But how can you tell?
He's an idea and a belief system.
I'm not saying, like, literally anyone could draw Mario eating meatballs and that
but they can.
A meatball eater. I'm saying that, like, officially sanctioned, requested, professional... hired by the company Nintendo Art features him eating meatballs, probably. Blue.
Wait.
What?
Waiting.
Who is, and anyone can answer this question, but I'm going to give it to Joseph first. Who is the queerest canon character in the Mario universe? Any game?
Well, I mean, probably the trans woman.
Well, Birdo.
Well, yeah, well, Bird, I would say Vivian.
Main character.
Vivian more so, because Birdo, I feel like it was brought up once in an instruction manual and then never referenced again.
That's just the way it is.
But Vivian is like true. In the text of the video game, says the line, "It took me a while to realize I was their sister, not their brother." Like, it's pretty on the nose and overt. So I feel like in terms of...
Is that the trans character in question?
Yes.
Okay, I don't want to count that one. Let me change my question. Okay.
You're going to erase Vivian's transness just like they did in 2004. I understand.
Characters that occur in multiple Mario video games. If they only occur in one, and remakes don't count.
Wasn't it?
If they only occur in one, they don't count. It needs to be like main enough to have appeared in multiple games.
I mean, my belief... is that it's Bowser, but I'm willing to settle for Waluigi. Which is
Bowser
probably...
does have the aesthetic a bit, but it's hard to tell because like Bowser exists in a universe where you can just be cartoonishly evil, and I feel like the reason that some of Bowser's visual aesthetics have lined up with what we would consider queer aesthetics is because of the, like, the same reason, like, there's a lot of association with devils and demons, right? Because it was demonized, it was, like, taken on as, like, oh, we're gonna use this. If you're gonna try to use it to make fun of us or to belittle us, we're going to, like, use it, sometimes internalizing it for the better or for the worse, depending on who I've talked to about this subject.
Okay, so if we're disqualifying him... So I'm not
saying
no.
I'm just saying that that kind of adds a little bit noise because, okay, like, you can't be a cartoonish turtle dragon man in real life. So, like, if someone made those choices in real life, absolutely, 100%. But Bowser exists in a cartoon world where you can be, like, a cartoonishly evil supervillain who, like, commits what would be considered, like, felonies, but still gets to just hang out and play party games with folks, like, the next day.
I kind of feel like I need to adjust my question again, because you are making a good point that it's all a social construct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm just going to shift it to which character that recurs in the Mario universe is the most queer-coded?
Coded. Okay. Like, and okay, now here's another dimension to your question, though.
Oh my god.
How intentional? Like, are you talking about intentional? Because coded to me feels like an active verb where it's like,
I'm going to say it doesn't need to be intentional. Okay. But it's a character that you specifically, or you can go with people that you've heard of, have looked at and been like, this character feels queer.
Well, in that case, Birdo again.
I was about to say,
the obvious so Birdo. Answer. You've opened it up back to that.
Birdo's a good one, but like I feel like, again, like the part where they just say it, I feel like that's not the vibe that we're going for here. Okay, we're like, well, ones that wouldn't necessarily, that are not necessarily explicitly said at some point.
Right? I do case, think
Bowser's a good okay option with it there. Being explicitly said.
I think Waluigi is probably up there.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from there.
I feel like Daisy has strong bisexual athlete vibes.
I agree. Yes. I think a lot of the femme characters in Mario have queer vibes.
Luigi, I can make a case for Peach,
but I have no reason to, other than, yeah, that's how that feels for me at the moment.
Peach, it just...
You feel that...
Peach, I feel like, just, like, has an element of... You know, like, someone who isn't, like, necessarily, like, there's a term for it, but, like, someone who, like, overtly hates men. Peach has the vibe of someone who's, like, experienced awful men enough that, like, yeah, there's this underlying, like, I'm kind of done with it vibe.
Yeah.
But, like, not necessarily in a gay way. Peach, no, this is what it is. Peach feels like the kind of straight woman who would constantly saying she wished she was a lesbian.
I agree with
that. And that's why she pulls out Deus Ex Machina scissors and cuts her hair.
And, yes, and how real that is depends on the specific incarnation, I would say.
I feel, just based off of vibes, that the star lady...
Rosalina.
Yes, she feels like a lesbian to me. She feels like the type of lesbian who's constantly getting hit on by men, but is not interested.
Yeah,
I can see that. I feel like Rosalina has sort of, like, reached her point in life. Like, I don't think she, she's already, like, a mom of 1,000 children. So, like, maybe not necessarily, like, asexual, though I could see that angle. I think the other, like, that's one side of the spectrum of interpretation. The other side would be, like completely content with not finding a romantic partner and having, like, you have to deal with my giant family of 10,000 little star people if you want, like, any part of a relationship with me. Understanding that that is a gigantic ask and fairly unrealistic, and so content with the idea that that criteria would never be met.
I don't know, because if you think of those star children as cats, you really just get into lesbian territory.
I can definitely also see Rosalina being Arrow Ace, but that's...
She does have the hair thing.
There's also
that doesn't feel particularly straight,
the,
I will say.
they give her, like, distance, because, like, there's Peach, and she's in the Mushroom Kingdom, and then there's, like, Daisy, and she's, like, around sometimes, but Rosalina's, like, in space?
Yeah. Which is gay.
Yeah. They like, not in a bad way, but they other her by, like, giving her this space distance. I don't know a better... The vibes, they're there.
The vibes are there. Toad feels very queer to me, but, like, the kind of queer that's like, I can't define this.
Yeah.
I think that's canon, actually.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I feel like it was, I
also think there might be some, like, ambiguity in translation and understanding, but, like, Toad is kind of just, like, a Toad thing, and then, like, there's particular Toads that lean more or less into gender. There's also like the Toadette, very, there's Toadette, right? And there's also Peachette, which, like, someone did this, and it just made everything way more confusing. If you are unaware, the video game, which one is it? Is it the Switch version of New Super Mario Bros. U? Is that what it is?
I think so.
You can play as Toadette, and there's a particular item you can get only as Toadette, where it's like a mushroom crown, and when Toadette collects this, she turns into Peachette, which looks like Princess Peach in a mushroom-themed outfit, but also has slightly less blue, more gray eyes. And everyone was like, hey, Nintendo, what does this mean? Like,
is it drag?
No, because Toadette is female.
Well, you can the drag.
No, it is
sure, but like I like yes, yeah, I get that, but like that's not the vibe.
Peach, and they just shove their whole face on. That's
is it cosplay?
No, like
no, she looks like Peach,
like fully, like with the blonde hair and everything.
Right.
Let me
and like a human face.
I don't know what this means. I've not heard of this. I forgot
that Peachette was the actual thing and that Bowsette is not real.
Bowsette.
I forgot.
Very genderly appropriate for this podcast. The internet got very weird about a crown that makes you look like Princess Peach.
Sure did.
I'm shocked. I can't believe the internet would do that.
That goes against everything I've ever known about the internet.
Even aside from that, like, it's just like, what? Like, then you, it took effort to make this the way that the video game worked. Like, clearly they're trying to say something, but I watched so many videos about this, and no one could, very concretely, convincingly come up with, like, what this is supposed to communicate. What information, clearly information is meant to be communicated about this, right? Like, is the idea that Princess Peach is a toad that just always has the crown? But that's not true, because when Toadette gets hit, she turns back into Toadette from the Peachette form. But when Peach gets damaged in a video game, she just turns into the short Peach, just like other characters turn into short Mario or short Luigi or short Toad.
Or she dies.
Well, this is assuming you're starting at big form. But I guess you can die immediately from big form as well. So, that's not what's happening. But then what is happening? What's going on? Why did you put this in the video game? I'm gesturing my hand wildly. I don't understand it.
Maybe that's...
Yeah, I feel like you can pretty easily just say it's a video game. Who cares what's going on? But I think the question of why did you put this in the video game... is extremely valid.
Yeah.
And does beg the other questions.
I'm not like upset about the mechanics of it. Like, oh, this shouldn't be possible in the Mario universe. No, that's fine. But like, why did you do this specifically?
Yeah.
Because this was a choice, a decision. And maybe they wanted to do more with it, and then Bowsette happened, and they were just like, you know what? You've ruined it for us. You got weird about it. You could have even done Bowsette in a not weird way. But you did it in a weird way. We can all agree. So
not
we're just
my internet.
We're just not. I'm not saying it is likely that the internet would not have done it in a weird way. I'm just saying that there is a way that you could have done it, a human person could have done it that would not have been weird. Not that you would expect the internet to do. There's also the fun thing. It's like, it's Peachette. Toadette turns into Peachette. So right. Bowser should turn into Peachzer, not Bowsette.
I think that's
what Bowsette. Okay, so because I just kind of assumed that Bowsette, based off of the naming conventions that have been established, was Toad turning into Bowser.
No, it's Bowser turning into Peach, but with like basically with like a gothic aesthetic. Which I do think is in some ways less weird than turning into a Toad. Definitely. More weird than a Toad turning into Bowser, though that would still be strange, and there's no thread there. But I mean, not weird in the same way that the internet made Bowser.
That's more whimsical, so I don't know.
Also, I'm pretty sure I stole the Peachazzer thing from a ProZD bit, just to leave that all on the table. I did not come up with this organically.
I do want the record to show that Bowsette has a tail.
Okay.
Are you looking this up?
According to fanonically, yeah, I'm looking this up. I have to. We can't have these conversations and I don't have visuals to understand what's happening here.
Do you understand how the internet
already cosplayed as Bowsette?
And yeah,
well, that was a long time. Oh, it was fast.
Bowsette's been around for a long time now.
This was a long time ago. This is like 10 years ago at this point.
No, not that long.
Don't say
not
that. No, it couldn't.
Six?
No.
I think 2018, maybe.
I was thinking original Wii U, but it was, I forgot, it was the Switch version of the Wii U game.
Okay, thank goodness.
Mario Brothers U probably did come out around 2014, though.
Sure, but...
the first one.
That's different. What about Mega Man? Not the person, the game series.
I mean, we did read that one fanfiction.
We're not going to talk about that one fanfiction.
Gotcha. That is correct. I forgot. My bad. The answer is all of them.
It is all of them.
It feels like it should almost be none of them because
it's all of
them.
They're
all related, kind of.
They're all siblings, and it's all of them. And that's the way I've been told it is. That is one of my touchstones for Mega Man.
But. Mega Man X. Very gay. So gay that they had to retcon it by continuously introducing straight women into the franchise to try to fight the gay allegations. Because it was too powerful. But it's, like, here's the thing, right? Like, we're joking about, like, the weird, like, sibling vibes that always pop up when you try to, like... because people have tried in official Mega Man media to, like, do it, and it's always uncomfortable, no matter what. A, because of the weird sibling vibes. B, because there's, like, three canonically female characters. No, sorry, that's a weird way to phrase it. There are three canonical characters that are female, roughly. It can kind of depend on how you count in the classic Mega Man. And then there's like 100 male characters. So already that's also a weird vibe. But in Mega Man X, all of the robots are made based on Mega Man X's like plans. So they all, like every single robot, like even in Mega Man, like you could find other robots that don't really match as well. But in Mega Man X, all of them are. They're called Reploids because they are replications of Mega Man X.
The only exception is
Zero, who is made by Dr. Wily. Thus, Zero is the only character that Mega Man X can ethically be in a relationship with.
I mean, I do think that it is important to note that these are robots, and so any, like, presence of gender is automatically performative.
Yes, also that. But in,
which
even in this context...
wonder, like, does gay-straight even apply?
Right? Sure. But I'm
queerness
just talking about, like...
because they are performing gender.
Regardless of even that conversation, X and Zero are both male-presenting. So
yes.
Now, Zero... has two love interests, at least. I think they throw more in after this. But, like, you've got Iris, which is the canonical one. But then she dies.
Oh.
Spoilers.
Canonically?
What?
Yes. One of the three canonical women
died. The fandom kills her off.
This is a different set. There are still not that many women in Mega Man X, but it is a different set from that original three that I was talking about. But again, like, I think it's also, there's a very fun angle of Zero was literally designed to kill Mega Man and Mega Man X. And it is funny that then that you would have them be in a relation, a romantic relationship instead. There's a fun irony. I don't know if that's funny. There.
It feels like a classic enemies to lovers.
But they're not even, they were never even enemies, is the thing. They were supposed to be enemies, did not know it, became lovers, and then later found out that they were supposed to be enemies. In fact, I think only Zero finds out about it. I don't know if he ever tells.
Man, that's not just the, like, queerest love story.
That's what I'm saying!
Okay.
That's what I'm saying!
Yeah.
This is the only, like, non-canonical gay romance that I feel this passionately about. Most as like, yeah, tacitly support. People have fun. Support people having fun. But this one, I'm like, it just makes, it's an interesting, it's a more interesting story than Here Am Girl Robot for Zero. I think even having Iris as part of the weird, like, balance of that relationship also makes it more interesting.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah, obviously. Next.
Yeah, that, he might be
okay,
the only.
Okay, and?
He's the only. Are we just saying he's the only gay Sonic character?
They're all gay.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Sonic might be, like, deeply internally closeted as bisexual.
I don't know.
I think I could see that, but also, like, not in a homophobic way.
No, right? Like, just like, it truly has not occurred to him.
He's attracted
to Fast. Well, he's also, there was that one time he fell in love with a real human woman.
That did happen. That's true. At least one.
It did happen.
It didn't happen 16? If you don't think about it.
There's also Sally.
Also supposed to be 16, but I don't know. I feel like the age might not be the weirdest part of that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think if the ages were different, it would feel any better. Is maybe the other way to put it.
Knuckles.
Link, right? Link's right there.
Link? I mean,
Link and Sonic should get together.
No. I don't think so. You know what? I don't know that, like, I don't think that before Breath of the Wild, there would have been a ton of Link is queer stuff. And then they put Link in girls' clothes, and everyone was like, damn.
It worked, I disagree. Though. I feel like even from Nintendo's perspective, Link was, like, visual, like, they talk about how they tried to make sure to make Link's design more visually androgynous than other characters, because they felt like that would better, it was a series that better appealed to both the male and female, probably not overtly acknowledging anything else.
Wait, but what if Zelda were a girl?
The audience.
But
what?
There was also Linkle. That was a weird thing that one time.
That did happen.
They made Girl Link, and they were just like, and then everyone was like, are you going to do anything with that? And they're like, no.
We'll let the cosplayers have fun.
They made Girl Link, and they called them Linkle?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if that's one of those things where maybe it sounded better in Japanese.
Okay.
But it definitely doesn't sound great in English, no. It doesn't, like, what's Cole? What's Cole? What does that mean? Is it, like, little? Is it supposed to sound like little? Because she's shorter? All right, look, we've had our fun. Has anyone played any gay video games in recent times? I already talked about mine.
I have.
What gay video game did you play?
I've played Palia. Or Palia.
I was going to say, you said Palia earlier.
I say both.
I feel like Palia is like, yeah, you're pals. You got pals and Palia.
Mm-hmm. I say Palia, I say Palia, and I say Palia. I say them all.
Okay, my personal ranking, Palia, Palia, Palia. Top is better.
Top 10 ways to pronounce Palia.
Yeah, exactly. Number 6 will shock you. Palia!
Doctors hate him.
That's number 6. Did it shock
you? Palia? Polly.
Polly Ollie Auction Free.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Number 10. It's pretty
There are
on
a
the
lot
list.
Of canonically overtly queer characters in Palia. That's the one you wanted me to use, right?
Yeah, because you're pals. Yeah.
It's mandatory. Pals.
Like they're
your pals,
like...
Leah. Your name has to be Leah.
Uh-huh. There's a lot to be said about Palia, but they do have queers. I don't know how much they have gender stuff, but they definitely have gay people.
That's neat.
It is neat.
You gonna elaborate on that, or?
Well, I don't want to spoil things.
Plot twist.
The way that they are gay is a spoiler?
Well, like, it, like, revealed, like, this one has an ex, this or that.
Oh, it's a scandal. Oh, I get it. Spill the tea on their ex early and that just...
That's rude.
There's one character who's, like, especially as you get to know her, constantly talking about her ex-wife.
That seems unhealthy.
I will also say, no, it's not. It's so, I don't know how to, like, talk about it without, like, spoiling it, because you do have to get kind of far along in this character's friendship before you really start to get the sweet, sweet lore drops.
What is this game? Is it a farm? Is this like a Stardew Valley type game where you're farming
it's supposed
and
to be
also
like a Stardew Valley MMO
making
sort of vibe.
The entire
but
town
MMO
fall
is,
in love with you?
Yeah. Oh, I have thoughts. But so like the MMO part of it, I don't know that the first M in MMO doesn't really apply. Like you can only, I think there's maybe 30 people per server at any given time.
So it's miniaturely.
Yeah. Miniature multiplayer online. It is online and it is multiplayer. So one of the things that's the developers have said they want you to be able to romance all of the characters if that's what you want. So there are no at this time, this game is in beta. There are no at this time concrete repercussions for romancing multiple characters at once. However, the characters will make comments on it. they don't seem to like it, but it doesn't affect it. Like you can still romance them regardless, and that feels weird. So two of the characters in the game, Reth and Tish, they're brother and sister, and I am romancing both of them along with other people. And I reached a point with, I think it was Tish, that was like, are you dating my brother? That's kind of weird. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it does seem, I don't know what the rules are for that sort of thing, but that feels like it's one of them.
I mean, I agree with that. Like the rules are there, but it's like, but they don't matter. So it's very strange to me that like the characters will say things to you about it, but it doesn't actually impact your relationship. Like I'm still flirting with her while wearing the physical evidence of my devotion to her brother on my character. Like, and it's just fine. And like later that day I went and talked to Reth and he was like, I've heard you're dating my sister. That's weird. And I'm like, I mean, you're right. It is weird. But it's even weirder to me that you're addressing it and it doesn't matter. Like, I feel like if you're going to make the characters address it, it should have a consequence.
Yeah.
Because it
or they should
it
be like
really bad.
Especially
obviously
if
in this case, it is weird. But like in the other cases, like they should shouldn't they just say that they're cool with it?
So there are cases where characters say they're cool with it, not cases where they're brother and sister.
Yes, that is the weird, that's the weird one.
And I'm not going to say which characters do say they're cool with it, but there are some characters that you can be with and they'll be like, I know that you're also with this person. Like,
is there,
what's happening here? And you can be like, I mean, I like you both. And they can be like, Polly, cool. I'm down.
Is there any way to tell before you start romancing multiple people, or do you have to find out about it after the fact?
Find out about what?
Like how the other part, like you're dating person A. Is there any way to understand how they will feel about you dating person B at the same time before you start to try to date person B without like looking it up on a wiki?
Kind of like you have to reach friendship level 3 before you can even start dating anyone, so like you already have to have gotten, and for some characters the max level is 4 and for some level characters the max level is 5. Right now there's no one that goes above that. I think the goal is to get everyone to 5, maybe beyond. I'm not sure, this game is in beta. But you there's like one of the characters that I'm romancing, I think I found out outside of the before I even started romancing him that he had been pretty traumatically cheated on by another character in the game, and I hate that character now. That I didn't like that, not the one that got cheated on, the one that did the cheating. So it's not surprising when later on he is like, I would really rather you not be dating multiple people. Because you know he has trauma.
Mm-hmm. But you're still allowed to.
Yeah, you're still allowed to. So it's weird. Like, they say that, but it doesn't, like, decrease your relationship with them. It doesn't make them colder to you or anything. Like, they just occasionally will say things that make you feel bad. And I don't like that.
Maybe that should be enough. Hmm, Leaf? Hmm?
But I would agree with you, but the developers have said they want us to be able to do it.
Right. They want you to be able to use your own moral judgment to figure out what's right and wrong.
I guess, I mean, maybe it's that. It's that they don't want to stop you, but they do want to tell you you're being an asshole. But right now, because this game is in beta, you can't make multiple characters for your one account. Like, you enter a loading screen that looks like someday you'll be able to have multiple characters. And maybe that's their plan, is that someday you can have multiple characters and that would allow you to date around without pissing people off. But also the grind to get your friendship to level 3 so that you can even start romancing is all by itself pretty brutal. So they'd have to have some sort of, like, character share relationships thing. Like, I don't know if it's a like your new character goes into town and is like, hey, my old character is vouching for me, and it just automatically like boosts your friendship up or something. Like I could see them implementing something like that. I don't know, but it's just like I almost wish it mattered. Like, if you're gonna say things like that, I want you to get pissed off and break up with me. Like, make my consequences have actions. Don't just make me feel bad for doing something the developers have said I can do.
Roll back. Make your consequences have actions?
Yeah, I stand by what I said.
But did you said by what you stand?
No. I don't think you're listening.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. What do you think?
Anyone else played any gay video games?
Wait.
You have more?
Joseph won't play paleo with me.
That seems pretty homophobic and transphobic, actually.
Well, we've already established that I am that.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. We did say that at the very beginning.
It aligns with my character.
I think that's probably it for the queerness of paleo. In terms of sexuality, it's present and beautiful in the NPCs. There's not necessarily a ton of gender queerness, but like there's not like not that. Like there's more masculine women and more feminine men, and there's that. Like gender is a spectrum within the game, but I don't think there are any like they them characters or trans characters who I've unlocked that lore about. All right, I can stop talking now.
Lou, have you played any gay video games?
You interrupted Anna.
The latency made it sound like about the same time, but I wasn't sure who tried to start talking. Anna, would you like to talk about a gay video game?
I forgot what I was going to say, so Blue, go ahead.
No, Joe, you're a monster.
The homophobic Joe strikes again.
The homophobia.
Excuse me, Jomophobic?
No.
That sounds way too close to germophobic, though. It doesn't work.
Does Marvel Rivals count?
You tell us.
I don't know, does it?
It's got Star-Lord.
Okay.
It's got Loki.
Sure, that counts.
Yeah. Magic in one alternate universe in the comics dates a version of Hela that isn't Hela. It's like a little piece of her soul that was Loki's friend. And
this is getting too confusing.
And then there's also Hela, who may or may not count for... I don't know. I don't think they ever say one way or the other. But in an alternate universe, yes, kinda. So, that's four that I can think of.
I honestly would have thought it had been more.
Oh.
There's like 100,000 characters in
the game. Only has like 20 so far.
Yeah.
So that the closed alpha test happened for 10 days, and they were the days that I moved in the middle of, or like the beginning of them. And so I couldn't play it for a long time. And then when I did have a new place, we didn't have internet for like a week. So I didn't get to play it very much. But from what I did play, it was a lot of fun. And it was surprisingly well put together. Like, closed alpha test of like a competitive shooter. I had the expectation that, oh, the entire time... it'll just be, like, server issues, and if anyone gets to play, it probably will be bug-riddled. But it was actually, like, a game, basically. Like, there were minor, like, there was, like, optimization issues sometimes, but, and, like, a few bugs, I think, but it was, like, it felt a lot further along than I had been led to believe.
That's exciting.
Is it going to be the next Overwatch?
I don't have much experience with Overwatch, but I did hear some Overwatch fans, players, whatever, they say that it feels like Overwatch 1, which is the highest compliment an Overwatch player can give something. Right. If they had said it feels like Overwatch 2, well then obviously it's garbage. But they said Overwatch 1.
The vibe.
So it's boding well. I wouldn't call it an Overwatch killer, because anything that's been called a something killer before it came out never was that thing. So
also Overwatch might already be dead.
It still gets like 25 million players a month, I think.
Still?
Yeah. They
whine about it a lot then, huh?
Yeah. They do it, but they hate it, is what I understand. I look forward to it being able to play it more, because I missed most of it. I did play enough to get to gold in ranked, so, which is
nice.
Like, the top 8% of players in the world, or 18%, something with an 8, I think.
So 80?
No, not that one. It was not that one. It was a more impressive one than that. I did surprisingly good for my first real time playing a shooter game, especially with any sort of ranked.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, I still got it. The trash talked in the lobbies, and I was like, yeah, I'm bad. You figured out my secret.
That's oh, my no. secret.
You got
me. I'm always bad at video games.
Today they announced that next month, or June, I don't know, sometime in the next couple months, they're doing the closed beta test with consoles. And if you got to level 10 in the alpha, you get to be in the beta. So I have a spot there. And they're adding Venom and Adam Warlock as playable characters. Oh, and it wasn't Nueva Tokyo, Nueva Yokio. The map is called Shinshibuya. I don't know if that's still some sort of combination, because Shibuya is just Shibuya and not Shinshibuya, so I don't know, but...
So you're saying the whole previous podcast is just invalidated?
Little bit. I'm sure it's still fun to listen to.
It was a good title. I did enjoy the title that I came
up with.
It
was very good. I've been playing more of Hades, because I never really got to the end of that, and that's a very clear game, so...
Yeah.
Hades.
That's true.
Or not two, right?
The first one, yeah.
Have you played any of the second?
No, I'm waiting until the full thing comes out, because that's what I did with the first one, and it was worth the wait.
I haven't finished the first or played the second, but I like that developer.
Yeah, I was surprised by picking it up and being like, oh, I have like a 66% success rate on my runs.
Hmm.
And that's me.
Anna.
That is my name.
Have you remembered your queer media consumption yet?
It was...
My understanding is that by putting explicit pressure on you, that will cause your memory to be better. I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
I feel like after, 10 plus years, you know that that is not true.
Mm. It's almost like it was an intentional joke that I told, where I said something that was the opposite of true for comedic effect. But then I remember that Joseph Martin never does something like that.
Still as funny as ever, Joseph. My man.
Mm-hmm. We have fun here on this podcast. It's a funny podcast. See, Anna's laughing. I'm funny.
Anna is the Blue
just regular. Laughed.
Blue, don't feed him.
Okay.
Don't do That's it. Fair.
Come on, Leaf. You know you want to. Give me
not.
A chuckle. A giggle. A guffaw. Man, not even guffaw?
No.
I think your humor's just broken. All right, Anna, I gave you more time. You thought of anything?
So, I have been playing Stardew Valley, almost exclusively.
Mm.
And I have been playing Ace Attorney, and playing those again has me going, yeah, no. Edgeworth and Phoenix are so gay.
He saddles him with unnecessary feelings.
Yeah, no, I swear to God, Edgeworth is very queer-coded, at least, at the very least for me. Just incredibly queer-coded, it's great. There is a very good meme that says, what's gayer, and then I don't remember what they show first, but the second is becoming a lawyer to see a guy you were friends with for 4 months when you were a child. That's pretty gay, actually, so.
I love that.
But yeah, I've been...
That is a, like, 10 out of 10 gay meme.
It's very good. So, Stardew, what else?
You're playing the Stardew update?
Yes, I've been playing the Stardew update. I like it a lot.
Give me your thoughts.
I like it. I didn't know exactly what all was new when, going into it, but there were some, like, dialogue changes, some festival things that were not continuous, like, it didn't happen every year, but, like, there would be a slight difference in where people were and, like, some dialogue, but it's like every other year, like it'll go back to the usual one, and then the next year it'll be different.
Okay.
So I thought that was pretty.
Yeah, I think that's good, because like one of my main complaints about Stardew, after playing a ton of it, like to be fair, like I played so much of this game, but my kind of a complaint that I landed on near the end that I really kind of struggled to get over was just how things didn't really change. Like, yeah. You did all these things to make an impact, but nothing really changed. And it was especially things like, I married Sebastian, I think his name is, who is Mara's brother, but yet Mara's father, because I think Sebastian is his stepson, it doesn't matter, would still be like, don't you date my daughter.
Yeah.
And it's like, sir, I am married to your stepson. Why are you concerned about me dating your daughter?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Why are you giving me this?
I'm not sure if that's changed at all. I also haven't been paying attention to mostly Dimitri.
I would guess it hasn't changed, but it was things like that kind of really started to bug me with the game.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Like, it sounds like he's kind of trying to make steps, but also he's working on a whole different game. So I really wasn't expecting like a Stardew update. So that surprised me.
When is this chocolatier going to haunt us?
I don't know. Never. I haven't heard anything about it in a long time, but not that I've like, you know, tried to stay on top of it. So
all I've heard is that they keep pumping out updates for Stardew Valley.
Right.
So I assume it's just it died forever. That really is the only option, actually.
Yeah, it's the only option. It is like one of the things that like I watched a video essay by Verily Bitchy, I think is the username and how you say it, which I'm pretty sure I sent to Joseph too at the time. But the video is called How Bisexuality Changed Video Games, but the like words in the image is the gay button. And it was one of the examples in the video was Stardew as an example of a video game that has queerness in it, but only if you kind of like do the right things to unlock it. So like they're like, you can, I don't remember exactly which characters it is, but like there are certain characters that you can, I think like one, for example, is Leah. Like if you are playing as a female character and you romance her, then she has an ex-girlfriend. But yeah. If you romance her as a male character, she has an ex-boyfriend. So like you can unlock a version of Leah who is queer by you presenting as queer, but the default experience of the game wouldn't show her queerness. And that's something that I really like that Palia does well, is like there is no like unlocking of the queerness. These characters just are queer, and they either are or they just are not, right? Like it's just that just is their lore. And so I like that. I like that like open depiction of queerness is just like, this just is part of the world. You don't have to opt into it. And the default is straight.
Does Palia have the thing where like, if someone is like, say, a lesbian and you are a male character, then they will not be interested in you?
I think all the characters are kind of just bi.
I feel like that's the other angle of it.
Yeah.
Where like, because, like, there are games where, I know there are games where, like, people are straight and you, like, you can't romance them if you're not the straight compatible gender. Even if there are other characters that are bi.
Yeah, but I think that would go against...
But I feel like I don't see it the other way around very often.
Yeah, but that would, to lock it in that way would go against the devs. Purported
yes,
mission
in this
of,
one particular game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm just
but
I'm
there
speaking
there
more broadly.
Is like all of, I think all of the characters, at least off the top of my head, have expressed interest in kind of any of the other characters, like NPCs. Like, for example, the character that I was vaguely talking about earlier who has an ex-wife at one point like said to me, I don't just come here for the good food, I come here for the view of the bartender who is Reth, who is my boyfriend. And I was like,
an interesting thing to admit. All right.
I was like, damn. Okay.
You do not care.
Why would you say that to me? I mean, I thought it was hilarious. Like, it was great. But, you know, like, I was like, oh, okay. So you obviously, like, are some version of Pan. I think they kind of all are. I think that's sort of the idea in this game, is like there isn't, the idea of sexuality doesn't seem to exist in this world, but this world is not, it is Earth sort of, but it's like a distant future Earth, and the people in it are not human. except you, the players. The players are humans. Basically, like, the premise of the game is, like, that humans just kind of suddenly started appearing here. And, like, they knew humans existed because we left, like, things behind. But suddenly humans are just appearing out of nowhere. The humans don't know where they're coming from, but they are being welcomed into this society. So all of the playable characters are the humans, and all of the NPCs are, I think they're probably called Pallians or something. I don't know. I should know, but I don't. Pals. One of them is, I think it's called a Grimalkin, and it's a cat. You can't romance the cat.
Well, I'm pretty okay with that.
Yeah. You can't romance every character. Like, there are characters you cannot romance, and I don't think they're going to add the ability to romance them. Like, some of them, they have added the ability to romance them. But, like, the one with the ex-wife, I don't think they're going to add the ability to romance her. And there are married characters that you can't romance, obviously. I guess not obviously. There are married characters that you can't romance. You can't break up a marriage.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't seem to have... The other characters don't seem to care about this.
Man, there's one character that, like, oh my god. I don't know how to say this without it just being spoilers. But you find out that the only reason that they married their spouse was because they were in love with their spouse's sibling. I'll just say
bad. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Game Cola podcast. If you liked what you heard, but not that, please be sure to check us out on our actual internet website, Game.
I think Anna has something to say.
That wasn't done.
I thought you said you played Stardew Valley.
I played Stardew Valley.
Do you have more?
Yeah.
You said almost exclusively Stardew Valley, and then you said a second game.
I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm about to start crying.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
It's okay.
Please tell me about your video game.
I've also been playing Sims. That's pretty queer, too.
It is.
But
yeah, there's werewolves.
There's werewolves.
Yeah. Those gay werewolves. But Sims hasn't released any... It hasn't done the, like, fix patch, right? But I feel like it did come out with some big update.
It had to be very recent. And if they did do a fix, I think they might have done it the day after it was announced.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know. You'll have to play the romance pack for us once that happens.
Yeah,
They've probably confirmed that, right? Or is it still just a teaser?
It's still just a teaser. They came out with two, like, of those very, very mini packs today. Like the $6 ones or whatever. $5.
The kits?
Yes, thank you.
They're the way that they trick you into spending tiny amounts of money for basically nothing.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Anna, who would you say is the... This isn't a great question. Well, here, we'll do... Who is the queerest character in The Sims that appears in multiple games? Because there's a lot of just canonically queer characters in Sims 4. I don't even know what I would say the answer is.
I don't know why, but the only one I want to say, like, certainly is Bella. Bella Goth.
No! Same!
It's like, I don't have any reason. It's just, yeah. And then the only other ones I can think of are only in one game, and it's Sims 2, and it's Nervous Subject and Pascal Curious.
Oh. That's canon, isn't it?
I don't know if it's actually canon or not.
But that also is, yeah, that's a good one too.
But yeah,
I would count that. The only reason I would say reoccurring is for Sims is because, again, they did add, like Sims is kind of a game that sort of had a gay button, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, you could opt out, but now in Sims 4, you can't. Like, I think it was with, I was going to say pets, but Sims 4 didn't release pets. Sims 4 released cats and dogs so that they could release the other pets separately.
So true.
But I think it was with cats and dogs that there came a world in which there was a, like, explicitly queer couple. And then in the island one, there were like gender queer characters and also queer couples.
Yeah.
So Sims 4 no longer has a gay button. So much so that I don't know if this ever got talked about on the podcast, but when they released the wedding pack, they didn't release it in, or they were going to not release it in Russia because Russia was like, we don't like how queer this is.
Yes. And then I don't know when this was. It could have been around the same time, or it could have been with high school, I'm thinking. But, like, they do have characters that will be like, I'm not attracted to you.
Yes! I think that was high school. I think, because I think they did, like, a whole, like, teenage revamp and decided that part of being a teenager was determining your sexuality, which, okay.
I mean, I was bored. I was in my 20s, but all right.
Yeah. I mean, you can change it at any time, I guess, in the game. But yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that you can make characters now. Because it used to just be all Sims were Pan all the time. But now you can have a distinct sexual and romantic attraction. And it works more than the pronouns do.
It does.
Amazing.
The pronouns.
Something in The Sims 4 works?
I mean, I didn't say it works all the time.
It's there, and they're trying, but it's also been a very long time, and I can't stress that enough. It's been so long.
I know. I know.
I bring it up a lot, and that's else why.
Has been so long?
This farewell. Podcast?
This podcast, guys, I'm about to pass out.
Fair.
Is this goodbye? We're having so much fun.
You're allowed to talk to each other outside of the podcast.
Why would I talk if it's not being recorded?
You're allowed to record yourself talking to people if it's not on the podcast. Make your own podcast.
After you talk about The Sims podcast episode.
But I'm going to pass out you can find our unless I tell you to go to thegamecola.net. Look at the top right section where the little Discord icon is and click on it.
Uh-huh.
And find us on Discord and hang out, and then you can talk to these folks about all the gay video games you want to. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful time. Wherever it is, whenever it is you are listening to this podcast.
It's fine.
However you are as a person listening to this podcast.
It has to be during Pride Month. That's the rule.
Yeah, only queer.
You'll have to wait until
Pride Month. If you listened to this and you weren't queer, you did.
You're gonna explode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just the rules.
Everything begins now.
Spontaneous human combustion.
Goodbye.
Bye. Queer people exist all year round.
True.
Goodbye.
Yeah, so you don't have an argument for that, because I'm right.
Well, no, I'm trying to say something else. But I don't know that I can say it.
We'll try, and I'll cut it out if it's
bad. I do
bad.
Think that the topic of Mario eating meatballs does feel on brand for this podcast.
It's a loose connection you've got there. Podcast. That's a pretty loose connection. I see where you're coming from. We'll see if it makes it into the podcast. It's a loose connection you got there. Like, if it was a better connection, I would leave it in as the funny goof, but this is feeling like maybe Coda territory.
That feels homophobic.
I don't think it's good.
What I'm saying right now will be the Coda power move.
Now I have to listen to the podcast. That made it in.
You gotta keep them guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.